this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
Having all the facts about a situation is real important. If we want to respond to our troubles properly, then we need to make sure we have all the facts about them. And this is what God wants to talk to us today from the Bible about. He wants to talk to us about our problems, about our struggles in life, and God wants to give us some facts about our problems that will help us respond to them in an appropriate and godly way. And it all flows out of something that happened right here in Luke 22. So let's look together, and then we'll answer the question, what are three things you and I should each know about our troubles? So, we're here in Luke 22. Let me remind you of the background. We're at the Last Supper. Jesus is having this last Passover meal with his disciples, and they're just about done now. They're just about ready to head out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And just before they go, Jesus has a couple of final words to say to Peter. This is one of the most familiar incidents in the whole Bible as Jesus predicts the denial of Peter, but there's some great spiritual truth in it. Let's look together. I'm beginning at verse 31. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 31. Simon, Simon, Jesus said. That's Peter's name. Satan, the devil, has asked for permission to sift you like wheat. Now, the Greek word that's used here for ask for permission literally means to submit a formal request. And so Jesus said, I want you to know, Peter, that the devil has submitted a formal request to do something to you. And here's what he wants to do. He wants to sift you as wheat. In the ancient Near East, you would take wheat and you would put it in a sifter, and it was actually a grinder of sorts. And you would grind the wheat around, and this sifter, this grinder, would crack the kernels on the outside of the wheat so that you could get to the inside part of the wheat that was really usable. And so in using this imagery that Peter would have been very familiar with, what Jesus says is, hey, Peter, what Satan is really asking for is for permission to work you over, to nail you, to crush you and grind you the way wheat is ground up in a sifter. That's what he's asked for. Verse 32. But he said, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. When you've recovered from this, strengthen your brothers. Hey, the implication here is very clear, isn't it? That Satan had received permission to do what he had asked to do. And Jesus said, he's going to come at you, Peter, and he's going to come at you with both barrels blazing. But I want you to know something, Peter. I want you to know that I've prayed for you. And Peter, you're going to survive it. Verse 33. And Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and even to death. You can count on me, Lord. And Jesus answered and said, Peter, I want to tell you something. Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. You will deny that you know me three times. Now, did this happen? Yes, it did. You say, well, how in the world could Jesus have known this was going to happen exactly the way it happened before it happened? The reason that Jesus knew that is because he was Almighty God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says that in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And because he was God wrapped in human flesh, he knew the end from the beginning. He knew everything that was going to happen. And here we have a marvelous tribute to the Godhood of Jesus Christ that he, in this is just one small example of many, that he could stand and look at Peter and say, Peter, I know what's going to happen within the next 24 hours, and I can tell you exactly what you're going to do. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ in a real and personal way, may I share with you that this, among many of the examples in the Bible, is just a testimonial to the fact that Jesus really was what he claimed to be, Almighty God wrapped in human flesh. And the reason he came to earth as Almighty God was to die on the cross for your sin and my sin. If you've never embraced that and made that personally yours, then you're resisting the very reason Jesus Christ came to earth. And I want to challenge you to really give some thought to letting Jesus Christ fulfill his plan for the ages in your life. All you have to do that is simply open your life and let him become your personal Lord and Savior. Well, that's as far as I want to go in the passage this morning. Now, I want to do something with you. I want you to close your eyes with me. Close your eyes just for a second and clear your mind. And I want us to play a tiny little word association game. I'm going to say a little phrase, and then I want you to see what pops into your head. You ready? Okay, get your mind clear. Here we go. Here's the phrase. The biggest problem in your life right now. Did you get something? Well, I can't say for certain what it is that popped into each one of your minds, but I'll bet that I'm right when I say that something popped into everybody's mind here. And you know the reason for that is because we all have problems. We all have tough circumstances. Job said, "Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." And the older I get, the more I realize that everybody in the world has trouble. And there are three truths about our troubles that Jesus' words to Peter tells us right here in this little passage that I want you to take the problem that just came into your mind, and I want you to apply these three truths to that problem. And I believe that if you will, it'll transform the way you see that problem, and it'll transform your ability to deal with it. So what are these three truths about our troubles that God wants us to know? I want to give them to you. Here we go. When it comes to our troubles, truth number one is that they're inspected. You see, this is one of the great mysteries of heaven that God tells us about in the Bible. Look right here. Jesus said, Satan has asked for permission before he could take any action against you, Peter. And this request was submitted to God himself, who inspected it, who assayed it, who then set the limits and the boundaries on what Satan was allowed to do to Peter. And now, whatever happens, Peter, I want you to know first, it's been inspected. Now, folks, this is not the only place in the Bible that God teaches us this great mystery of heaven. I want you to turn back in the Old Testament to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. And this is another place in the Bible where God teaches us this great mystery that goes on in heaven. And I want to read a couple verses to you beginning at verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Verse 7, and the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan said, from wandering up and down along the earth. Verse 8, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I'm really proud of him. There's nobody on earth that follows me like he does. Verse 9, Satan said, well, does Job fear you for nothing? Verse 10, haven't you put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread out through the land. Now notice that Satan says, God, you've put a hedge around Job, so I can't get to him. Verse 11, but you stretch out your hand and you strike everything he has. You let me go do this. You let me sift him like wheat, and he'll curse you to your face. There's the challenge. Verse 12, then the Lord said to Satan, very well, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself, you can't lay a finger. Now here, even though God allowed Satan some activity, some access to Job, would you notice he set definitive limits on what the enemy was and was not allowed to do to this man? If you look over in chapter 2, verse 4, Satan said, skin for skin, let me touch his skin and he'll curse you to his face. Verse 6 of chapter 2, and the Lord said to Satan, very well, he's in your hands, but you must spare his life. You can tee off on him physically, but you can't kill him. And in both of these cases, friends, God set the limits. Now, this same principle holds true with you and me as Christians, with every single believer in Jesus Christ today. God has put a spiritual hedge around each one of us. And any problem that comes into our life, we can be absolutely sure that it has first been assayed and inspected and limited by a loving Heavenly Father before it's ever allowed to touch our lives. I really like about this the fact that God doesn't delegate this inspection to some angel. But I like the fact that God does this inspection personally for every one of us. And that means that I can trust him if God himself is the one who's doing the inspecting. Friends, the practical impact of this is huge. It allows God to make us a promise about our troubles that when you and I get a hold of it, it will revolutionize our life. And here's the promise. It's back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Would you turn there with me? And here's the promise that God makes. Verse 13, the middle of the verse, it says, "And God is faithful, who will not let you be tested beyond what you can bear." Now, there's no way God could make that promise if there was one single circumstance that might ever come into our life that God had not first inspected to make sure it was within the limits of our endurance. But because there never is anything that comes into our life that God has not inspected, He can make that carte blanche promise. There is nothing that's going to come into our life that we cannot bear. And so as a Christian, the phrase, I can't keep going, I can't make it, is simply not one of the above selections, because God says, wait a minute, I've inspected it first, and oh yes, you can. I want to say, whatever your problem is, God has a road sign right in front of it, and His road sign says, oh yes, you can. With my help, you can, because I've made sure of that before I ever allowed it into your life. It's inspected. That's the first truth I want you to master. Truth number two is that not only are our troubles inspected, but truth number two, they've got a purpose. Our troubles have a purpose in our lives. And for us as people, anytime something seems senseless, we have a hard time dealing with it. Things need to make sense to us. That helps us with our problems. And you know, when Jesus tells Peter that Satan's going to work him over, when He tells Peter that Peter's going to have a major crash and burn, in the very same breath, He also says, now Peter, God has a purpose in this for you. Because He says to him, when you have turned back, when you've been restored, then Peter, you're going to use this experience to strengthen your brethren, to minister to other people. This is going to have a purpose in your life. And listen, this is exactly what Peter did. Later on in the letter that we call 1 Peter, Peter's writing to folks who are suffering, to people that have problems. Listen to what he says to them. He says to them, 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, and He will lift you up. Cast all of your problems upon God because He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to eat up. But resist him and stand firm in your faith, because you can be sure that the God of all grace, after you have suffered a little while, He will restore you, He will make you strong, and He will make you firm and steadfast. Now, where did he get the confidence to say those kind of things to people in problems? Well, he got it by going through what he went through and watching what God did for him. And my dear Christian friend, there are some things God can only accomplish in our lives through pain and suffering and loss. Now, we don't want to hear that, but it's true. I was with a friend the other day having breakfast, and he was telling me about this British psychiatrist who's written this fabulous book and that I should get it and read it. Well, I said, what's the title of the book? He said, well, the original title of the book was Pain, the Gift Nobody Wants. He said, but they had to change the title because nobody would buy the book with that title. We don't want pain. We don't want to hear this message. We don't want to have anything to do with pain. All of American society, from Advil commercials to modern medicine, is set up to eliminate all pain in our life. But you know what, folks? The truth is that pain is a gift. Dispensed in precise, inspected doses by a loving Heavenly Father to accomplish purposes in our lives. That's the truth of the Word of God. And prosperity and ease and success and luxury may feel great, and they do, but you know those things never bring any maturity, any growth, or any development to our lives. You say, oh yeah, Lon? Yeah? Well, you just tell me what benefit problems bring to my life, because I've suffered a lot of pain and I've never seen any of it, all right? Well, I'd like to give you three real quick. Three benefits that pain will bring to your life. Number one, it'll humble your high opinion of yourself and my high opinion of myself. James chapter 4 says God is opposed to the proud, but He gives help and grace to the humble. And friends, a loving God wants to give you grace and wants to give you every kind of spiritual benefit, but He can only do it to humble people. And you know what? Success never humbled anybody. In fact, success makes people pretty arrogant, doesn't it? And for God to be able to give you grace, you've got to be humble. And the only way to humble anybody is through suffering and heartache and pain. I never met anybody that got humble from success and prosperity. Number two, the second purpose that pain has in our life is it teaches us to depend on God instead of ourselves. Proverbs chapter 3 says, do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding and your own cleverness. One of the blessed results of problems and heartaches is that they shatter our self-sufficiency. And they teach us, they drive us, they force us to depend on the sufficiency of God instead of our own sufficiency. And this is a blessing, because this is how we unlock the power of God in our life, is by depending on the power of God, the sufficiency of God. But you know what? I have learned that as a human being, if there's any way I can depend on myself, I will. God has to take me to the point where I'm totally out of resources before I depend on Him. And that's the purpose of pain in our life sometimes. Third and finally, a blessing or benefit that pain brings is that it produces mercy and compassion for other people. Jesus said, Peter, after you've been through what you've been through, you're going to be much better able to strengthen and help your brethren. You know, Peter was a pretty arrogant guy. Peter was the guy who beat on his chest and said, oh, all these other yellow bellies may go off and deny you, but not me. I'm a rock. Well, now, does that sound like the kind of spirit that could encourage and support anybody in trouble? No, I don't think so. But suffering has a way of stripping all that down and making us able to identify with people who are going through tough times. Friends, I used to have a good friend who said he's in heaven now. That's why he's not my friend anymore. Well, he's still my friend, but he's not here anymore. But he used to say this. He used to say, suffering burns out shallowness. And suffering teaches us how to connect with people in pain that in a way you'll never learn in any college course, you'll never learn in any seminar, you'll never learn in any book, and you can't take a pill to get. And why does God sometimes send pain into our life? To teach us how to have compassion and mercy for other human beings. Friends, this being true, these purposes being real about pain, we as Christians, we need to expect that we're going to have some hard times. We're going to have some problems. We're going to have some tough things that come into our life, not because God's mad at us, not because God hates us, not because we've done anything wrong necessarily, but because God is dedicated into making us men and women of God, and you don't do that with unbroken success. Third and last thing I want you to know about your problems is not only are they inspected and not only do they have a purpose, but third and finally, God will turn them into a blessing in your life if you'll just trust Him. God will turn them into a blessing in your life if you just trust Him. Now, didn't that hold true for Peter? You say, well, what kind of blessing was this? He denied the Lord and ran away. Yeah, but Galatians chapter 1, Paul said, I went up and I met with Peter, who is a pillar of the church, and to whom God has entrusted the gospel for the Jewish people. Now, isn't that interesting? That this is how Peter was perceived, as a pillar of the church and the one entrusted more than any other single person with taking the gospel to the Jewish people. And you know where that came from? Where did that mantle that even Paul recognized, where did that come from? Well, it came from John chapter 21, where after Peter had run away and gone back to fishing because he had denied the Lord, Jesus went and got him and called him and said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, Peter. And everybody knew that Jesus had given Peter that mantle. But you know that never would have happened in Peter's life if he hadn't first gone through the experience of denying the Lord. And so God turned it into good in his life, into a blessing. And friends, there's a verse in the Bible, most of you know it, that says God works all things together for good. God works all things together for good, not just the good stuff and the medium stuff, but the tragic stuff. God works everything together for good, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, to those who will trust Him. And if you will take your problem and you will trust your problem to God, God, I promise you, will overrule it, He'll override it, He'll flip-flop it, and He'll turn it into a blessing in your life by the time it's all over. You say, well, Lon, what's the timetable on that? One day, 2 days, a week? Well, it might be years. I don't know, but I'm telling you, God will do it. You say, well, I know God can. I'm not telling you God can. I'm telling you God promises He will. It was true for so many of the famous people that we all know about. It was true for Joseph. You remember, he was hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, framed by his master's wife, unjustly thrown into jail. He was used by Pharaoh's butler for the butler's own advantage. One adversity, one disaster after another for 13 straight years. And then when God had all the pieces in place, bingo, and before you know it, he's prime minister of Egypt. Did God turn it around for good for this man? Sure. In fact, he said to his brothers later, you intended harm for me, but you know what? God flip-flopped it and turned it into a blessing. And how about Naomi and Ruth? You remember Naomi and Ruth? You know, Naomi lived across the Jordan River with her husband and her two sons, and Ruth married one of those two boys. The two boys' names were Mahlon and Chilion, which means weakly and sickly. That's what she named her kids. It's true. And anyway, weakly and sickly died, and her husband died. And so here she is, Ruth and Naomi, they're widowed, they're homeless, they're financially destitute. It looked like an irreparable tragedy. They come back home to their hometown of Bethlehem, and when Naomi arrives, Naomi says to all her friends, hey, don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Mara, which means bitter in Hebrew, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Hey, but what did God do? You remember old Ruth went out in the field one day to glean, and she met a fellow named Boaz? You remember that? And old Boaz, man, he was handsome, and he was rich, and he was loving, and he was God-fearing, and he was tender, and he was sweet. And the best part about it all was he was available. And before you know it, Boaz and Ruth are married, and all of a sudden, now Naomi and Ruth had security, they had provision, they had a family, and Ruth ends up in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did God turn it around into a blessing? You bet he did. The Israelites at the Red Sea. I mean, how many more examples do we want? One more, okay? Pharaoh came out with all his chariots. He's up on the hill there. They got Pharaoh's chariots in front of them. They got the Red Sea behind them. You know the story. Things didn't look real good right then, did they? And Pharaoh pauses up on the hill and he says, you know, the God of Moses is a very poor general to give him no retreat. You say, how do you know he said that? Well, you know the answer was in the movie. You know, Yul Brynner said it. And by the time it was over, what happened when the Israelites were safely on the other side and Pharaoh's chariots were all at the bottom of the Red Sea? Didn't God turn it into a blessing? And I could keep going, but the point is, my Christian friend, that to all of these people, God was true to his promise, and God will be true to his promise to you. He's got it all under control, and he doesn't need you to do anything but trust him. It's all he needs. So these are the three principles about our problems that I want you to remember, about our troubles. All of us here have troubles this morning. Some of us have really tough troubles this morning, and we're hurting. Now, I'm not God, and I can't tell you why exactly what's going on in your life is going on, but I can tell you three great truths that'll work for any problem you've got. Number one, you've got to understand they're inspected, and oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Number two, they've got a blessed purpose in your life. God's just not picking on you. God's trying to do something in your life with them. And number three, God's going to turn them into a blessing in your life if you'll just trust him, if you'll just let him. And if you'll take those three principles, my dear friend, and you'll stick them on top of your problem, it'll change the way the binoculars look at your problem. I tell you, it'll put a different lens in front of them for you. And I hope you'll do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we struggle through this life, this is a tough life. This is not an easy life. And the older we get, it seems like the more problems we encounter. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are a God who is real and practical, and that you give us real and practical truth for our daily struggles. And I pray that you would take these three precious truths, that our troubles are all inspected, and oh yes, we can, that our troubles have a blessed purpose in our life, and that if we'll just trust you with them, you will take every one of those problems and you'll turn them into a blessing. Lord, help us take these three truths. Help us to put them between us and our problems and look through the lens of these three truths at our problems so that our problems look different, so that we can react to our problems in an appropriate and godly manner because we're living in light of the truth of the Word of God. So, Father, for folks here who are struggling, for folks here who are hurting, for folks here who are suffering, I pray that your word would be an encouragement and a source of hope and comfort to them this morning. May it change our lives because we've listened and internalized the word of God this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?